As I mentioned earlier, we've come to the end of our summer series, An Altar in the World, and whenever we come to the end of a series, I'm like an idea person, so by the end of a series, I'm always like, all right, let's move on to the next one. But this one has actually been different, because I don't know about you, but I've experienced this series in my own faith journey, and I'm excited to not just move on, but to continue to find ways and places and opportunities where God is moving and at work. And I hope that you also have experienced a bit of an opening of eyes, that you have had experiences of God throughout this summer as you've been aware and been paying attention that you might not have had before. And I'm very thankful for this book that by Barbara Brown Taylor, and the ways God has been moving, at least in my life, and from what I've heard from some of you in yours as well. And this week, the last chapter really kind of closes the circle on it all, because we've been talking about, you know, waking up to God and paying attention and integrating the spiritual and with our embodied existence. And this week, the theme is pronouncing blessings. In a sense, it's taking all of those experiences and encounters and just giving voice to them, putting flesh on the bones of our experience. And so I guess I want to know this morning, who has pronounced a blessing in the past? Maybe you've done it over a meal. How many of you have said a blessing over a meal? Right? And I kind of stole my own punchline. At least most of you have pronounced a blessing over a sneeze, right? So at the very least. But there are also probably some of us who aren't very comfortable, at least beyond those two contexts, in actually giving voice, whether in public or in private, to something that is a blessing, that is a creation or an encounter with God. I get to do it all the time, and actually sometimes people pay me to do it, which is just kind of a weird thing, right? People, as a pastor, it's like part of my job to pronounce blessings, to say them at wedding, you know, dinners and things like that. And really, this is something that I hope y'all can do too and be a part of. And that is what Barbara Brown Taylor hopes too. She says, for those of you who aren't comfortable pronouncing blessings, she says, if you are one of those people, then only you know why. All I can tell you is how much the world needs you to reconsider that position. In essence, the world needs blessing pronouncers. Pronouncing blessings is just such a core component of the Jewish faith, even today. Observant Jews say blessings. They have blessings for almost everything they do, from meals to just going to the bathroom. Literally, I'm not even joking. If you follow around an Orthodox Jew throughout the day, you will hear many, many, but hopefully not into the bathroom. But anyway, if you just follow them around, you'll hear many, many blessings that they say, and that they all begin in the same way. And maybe you were curious about what was these weird letters and stuff on the cover of your worship folder this morning. Those are the beginning of these blessings. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech olam, which means, blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of the universe. And then they go on for with whatever it is they are blessing. And of course, Jesus was Jewish. And so it shouldn't surprise us, it shouldn't shock us that Jesus pronounces many blessings as well. And so I thought, especially if you're one of those who doesn't necessarily feel comfortable or really want to pronounce blessings, my method of convincing you is to say that Jesus did it, and so should you. And so, excuse me, we're going to go into some of the blessings that Jesus speaks and pronounces in his ministry to kind of give us some clues about what that might look like for us to be pronouncers of blessing. And we'll start with a pretty familiar passage of the Beatitudes. Jesus saw the crowds. He went up the mountain. After he sat down, his disciples came to him, and then he began to speak and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they'll be filled. And the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil falsely against you on my account. And what we see in this set of blessings, these beatitudes, is that Jesus blessed those who were looked down upon. And in that blessing, he's not saying it's easy or any easier to be poor in spirit or in wealth or poor or grieving or hungry and thirsty. He's not saying any of those things are easy, but he's saying they're blessed. These people are blessed because God is with them. And that was a shocking thing to say. People did not think to look for God's blessing or God's presence with the poor in spirit. Well, obviously God is with the rich and the powerful, but Jesus says, no, blessed are you. So Jesus blessed the looked down upon. Jesus also blessed the ordinary and seemingly insufficient. All right, so Jesus blessed the ordinary and seemingly insufficient. And so we go to Matthew 14, probably another familiar story if you've been in church much. Jesus is teaching, and this is the feeding of the 5,000. And it says here, they're wondering how they're going to feed all these people. And Jesus said to them, they need not go away. You give them something to eat. And they replied, we have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, bring them here to me. And then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And so in this case, the bread and the fish is not just ordinary, but it's a symbol of insufficiency. Right, so they look at the bread and the fish, and all they can see when they see these things are, that's not enough. And we're going to come back to this story in a couple weeks, but for now, let's just acknowledge that what Jesus did was he didn't look at that bread and fish and say, that's not enough. He looked at the bread and fish, and he pronounced a blessing upon it, and it became enough. More than enough, in fact. And of course, later, Jesus again takes bread, and he takes wine, the most ordinary things that anyone would eat and drink. And he blessed them. And he broke and he poured. And he said, this is my body and blood. And so these very ordinary things become these channels of God's presence, of God's love and grace. So Jesus blessed the ordinary and seemingly insufficient. Third, Jesus blessed those who recognized the presence of God. And so we move back a chapter to Matthew 13, and Jesus tells the parable of the sower. And what is happening here is Jesus' disciples are wondering what's going on in Jesus' ministry, because he's doing some great things, you know, healing and teaching, and they're like, this guy's great, we're following him, but there's a lot of people who aren't too happy with Jesus, or at the very least, aren't interested enough to follow him. They're saying, wait a second, what's going on here? And Jesus tells them this parable of the different seeds and how some people get it and some people just don't. And then he says at the end, he says, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. And what he's saying is that their eyes and their ears are able to see and hear God where most people do not see and hear God. So again, Jesus is blessing this thing that isn't quite obvious to the normal eyes of people. And finally, Jesus blessed those who did God's work. And so in Matthew 24, again, he tells this parable. He tells this parable, and he concludes it by saying this. Blessed is that slave whom his master will find at work when he arrives. And so this image is of a master, or let's in our context, let's say a boss, who's off on a business trip, and you know, you kind of have that option. Maybe the teacher who's gone, right, and the substitute's there. You kind of have this option. Well, no one's watching me, and so I can either, you know, kind of slack off and have fun, or I can do the work. And he says, blessed is the one who's doing the work when the master comes back. In the next chapter, he puts a little more flesh onto what that work might be. He tells the parable of the sheep and the goats. And to the sheep, he says, come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you welcomed me. I was naked, you gave me clothing. I was sick, you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Blessed are those who do that work. These aren't religious acts. These are acts of servanthood and labor. These are the nurse who's cleaning her patient. This is the person who spends time with the criminal behind bars and takes time out of their day for that. This is the teacher sitting with the special needs student. So these are things that we either avoid doing or just try and get through. And he says, blessed are you when God sees you doing those things. Blessed are you. God is there. And what draws all of these things together is they're not obvious blessings, are they? They're not things that we would go around being like, oh, I'm blessed. Hashtag blessed. Right? These are not those things. These are things that are subtle. These are things that require the eyes of faith. These are things that require kind of knowing Jesus and the story of the incarnation, born in a humble stable, dies on a cross, that knows that we should be looking for God in unexpected places. And so these are the kinds of things that it's so important for us to pronounce blessing upon, because they're things that not everyone sees as blessed. They're not places everyone sees God. And Barbara Brown Taylor says, there's really no impressive logic behind this reasoning of blessing. She says, the only logic is that all life comes from God, and for that reason alone, we may call it blessed, leaving the rest to God. There is nothing that we cannot pronounce a blessing upon, because all things, all created things, come from the Creator. Now that said, it can take great faith to see where God is in some of these ordinary and even painful things. And that's why the author of Hebrews says, faith is the conviction of things not seen. Things that we cannot see with our eyes, but we can see with the eyes of faith. And Barbara Brown Taylor reminds us that a blessing does not confer holiness. The holiness is already there, embedded in the very givenness of the thing. The eyes of faith see that all of life is a gift. And the one who pronounces blessing simply gives voice to that faithful vision. Blessing also holds great power. Something very simple, but very powerful. She says, it may be enough to see the thing for what it is and pronounce it good. For most of us, that is as close to God as we will ever get anyway. I found that to be very powerful. If we think about that creation story, God looks at what he's made and says it's good. He made humanity. Before humanity had accomplished anything, produced anything, done anything, and blessed them, said it's very good. When we look at what has been made and created and say it's good, we are being the image of God in the world. She says it's as close to God as we might ever get. Because pronouncing blessing, seeing blessing, but pronouncing blessing is what makes the mundane things of life in this dry and sometimes gray world come alive and have color and beauty. It's this that makes clay come to life, and what makes work fulfilling, and what makes relationships bring joy. To pronounce blessing is to allow God to be who Jesus is, the incarnate one, the one who shows up in the real world, in flesh and blood, in dust and water and bread and wine. We are the people who know that that's where God shows up. And so let's say it. Let's pronounce it. Let's proclaim it. Let's share that. Again, Barbara Brown Taylor says, how often, though, we are embarrassed to do and say the things that really affect us. Think about all the things you talked about this week. All the conversations you had. Weather, the annoying thing at work, the weird thing that happened when you were driving from this place to that place. Think about all the things you talked about this week. Which of them was more valuable than saying, God is here? Blessed be the name of the Lord. What could you have said that would be of more value than acknowledging God's presence in this world? And in particular, to do that in the presence of someone else who may be struggling to see that in their lives. Pronouncing blessing is the act of giving our faith and hope and love birth into this world. And hopefully, as we practice it, our eyes become open wider to all of the ways that God has blessed us. Now this week, I read this chapter so I could, talk about it today. And I went over and I actually read it in the lounge, because I don't know if you noticed, but it was a little bit humid and hot this week. Any of you noticed that? So I went over to the lounge because there's actually air conditioning there. And I read the chapter. When I was done, I came back to my office, or I was coming back to my office, to start working on the sermon and what I was going to say. And as I entered this room, I had this moment. I had this recognition of the blessedness of this place. Now, you might say, oh yeah, well of course, it's the sanctuary. But you have to remember, for me, this is just a room that I go through every day. I just walk through it. I go from there to here, back and forth a number of times, and sometimes I actually run through it because there's someone at the back door and it's the winter and I have to run all the way through the church after they ring the doorbell to try and answer the door for them. So this is just a room that I just go through all the time. But after reading this chapter and thinking about these things for just a few minutes, my eyes were open. And I was moved when I got back to my office to write a blessing for this room that most days I don't even notice. So I wanted to share it with you as just an example of what happens when our eyes of faith are open. It goes like this. I started with that Hebrew blessing. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, in this room that has been purchased and built and kept by the work of faithful women and men who knew that God would be known when two or more are gathered in his name. In this room, where seats that were once filled with the bodies of sisters and brothers in Christ are now empty, and benches await the bodies of children and women and men eager to hear a word from the Lord and be adopted into this family of faith. Be blessed in this room where your children have sung with full voices out of full hearts and raised hands and bowed heads. Where your people have wept and laughed, said goodbye, and I do, and I believe, and peace be with you. Where bread has been broken and taken upon the tongues of sinner saints, and grape juice has coated the throats of people longing for forgiveness and new life. Where Bibles have been opened and God's word has been spoken to hearts opened in faith. Where hands have been held, bodies embraced, and leg muscles flexed with each command to stand in reverence of the living God. Bless this room, for it is good. Be blessed in this room, for you are good. Amen. And again, I share that with you, not because your blessings have to be long and wordy or poetic, and not because this room is in some way more special than any other place, but simply to show you what you can see when your eyes are open with faith. When you go through a mundane place but are looking for God and have God on your mind and you've been setting your timer and you remember, oh, the loving presence of God is here, and you look around and it comes alive. When you're washing dishes, you say, blessed are you, O Lord God, who fills these plates with delicious and life-giving food day in and day out. when you're cleaning floors and blessing God for the footprints of your beloved family and friends who walk around your house. When you're mowing the lawn and blessing God for the frolics and screams of delight of children who play in that yard. Or when you sit in the chair that a loved one used to sit in. And you can remember what a blessing it was to have known them and spent time with them. It can be anything. It can be anywhere. But the world needs us to be blessing pronouncers because the world needs to know that God is near. And so I encourage you this week, each day, just find one thing to pronounce a blessing over. And for bonus points, make it something that you don't even notice on most days. Just take time, look, ask God, where are you? What are you doing? Barbara Brown Taylor closes her book saying, I hope you can think of a dozen chapters I left out of this book. I hope you can think of at least that many more ways to celebrate your own priesthood practiced at the altar of your own life. The point being, this series, the book, is one person's experiences of places where she has learned to find God, but it's not comprehensive. Keep looking. Not just looking with your eyes, but looking with the eyes of faith. See where God is. Write your own chapters about where you have found and experienced the living presence of the loving God. That's the whole point of all of this, to have our eyes open and to give voice to that so others can see it too. Let's pray. Gracious God, all of life is a gift, and we say that when we gather here today. Help us to live like that the rest of the week. Open our eyes. Let us see you, your glory, your grace, your compassion. Let us experience your peace and joy and hope. And let us do it not as an escape from our day-to-day existence, but in a way that allows our day-to-day existence to come alive and to transform us and the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.